Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Jennifer Zamperali, 2FM, good morning. So, my next guest could be the angel that I need on my shoulder right now as I battle through, because it is a battle, sober October. I know I'm only a few days in, but, you know, it's tough. She is the author of Sober Curious, an illuminating conversation starter that asks you to consider, would life be better without alcohol? Now, this has sparked a global movement of people just re-evaluating their relationship with alcohol. She's on the line now from New York. Ruby Warrington, how are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So let's kick off. What made you think about how or why you drink alcohol?
Well, I had always been, like many of us, what I would call an enthusiastic social drinker, meaning in my 20s and 30s, I drank to have fun, to socialise, to relax and enjoy myself. And my drinking had never really caused me major problems. But as I moved through sort of my mid-30s, I began to notice that not only were my hangovers getting far more severe, I was also just experiencing a lot of anxiety and an overall sense of sort of dissatisfaction with my life. And I began to notice that actually this was quite connected to my drinking. And given that my drinking had never looked like what I thought problem drinking was, I didn't think that AA or rehab was really a fit. It didn't feel like I needed something that black and white, but I knew that there was something I needed to look at, and the way that I was drinking wasn't necessarily helping me really live the life that I wanted to live.
Okay. So when you were discovering this, did you latch on to, let's say, a dry January or sober October or one of these movements? I mean, they happen quite frequently now. Obviously, they're very popular now, should I say. But was that around when you were, you know, discovering that you were sober curious, so to speak?
Yes, actually. It's good that you mentioned that. They've become a lot more popular. When I did my first, or I would say attempted my first dry January, it was 2013. So that was 10 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
We didn't have a sober September or a sober October then. But yes, I say attempted. I did think that would be a really good way. Before that, I had been experimenting with taking a week off here, a weekend off there, you know, attending a party without drinking, just sort of seeing how it felt to not drink in these situations. But I tried then to do a dry January and I couldn't do it. I didn't make it. I was already living in New York. And towards the end of the month, a friend, one of my favorite drinking buddies, visited from the UK. And yeah, I slipped. And it was very interesting to me that perhaps that situation made me see that perhaps I was a bit more attached to alcohol than
that you couldn't finish the task, you couldn't get to the end of the month. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
If anything, that didn't set me back though, it made me more curious and more interested in getting to the bottom of the nature of my relationship with alcohol.
Okay, so what did you do?
I got back on it. I started asking more questions. I started asking myself, what was it about that particular situation that made it hard for me to resist? What could have been helpful? What could I have done? What could I have replaced alcohol with in that situation? Are there certain friends who I'm always going to want to drink with?
Sure.
And if I don't want to drink, then do I want to change the way that I socialize with those people? Do I want to make sure I meet that friend for lunch instead of meeting him for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
These are all very good techniques for me right now because I'm doing Sober October. So I'm just literally writing it all down. If somebody is sober curious, what are some good questions to ask yourself about your relationship with alcohol?
Well, I think you can start to ask yourself, does this feel good? You know, a lot of us drink because we want to feel good. You know, we think that it's going to help us relax. It's going to cheer us up. But ultimately, the downs often begin to outweigh the highs, you know? And I think if we've got to a place where we're noticing that the side effects or the after effects of alcohol are actually outweighing the good times, then that's a really good reason to get sober curious, maybe starting with an extended break like you're experimenting with. But that's a good question to ask yourself. Okay. And then you can start to ask some of the bigger sort of societal questions. Why is there so much pressure to drink? Why do we normalize excessive drinking? How much is too much? Why do some people get labeled alcoholics and others who are drinking, you know, large volumes of alcohol, not? Where do we draw the line? These are all the kinds of questions that we can start to ask ourselves when we get sober curious. But ultimately, I mean, to be sober curious really means to question every impulse, every invitation, and every expectation to drink. So anytime we're feeling a craving, where's that craving coming from? What is it about this situation that's making me want to drink? What every invitation? Why are these people expecting me to drink with them and telling me I'm being boring if I decide that I'm not going to drink tonight, when actually this is a personal choice? It's about me and my consumption. And why is there often so much of an expectation to drink? You know, as adult humans living in the cultures that we do, it's just a given that we will drink alcohol.
Yeah.
And the only people who don't really are the people who can't for some reason.
Okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. On your sober journey, or if you are sober curious, is there room for like the odd drink?
Absolutely. Yes, this is not a black and white approach. You know, this is really about just giving yourself permission to ask all the questions you need and do all the experimentation that you need to figure out what is a healthy or appropriate level of drinking, I suppose, for you. Now, for many people, myself included, doing this really deep sort of inner and outer investigation about my relationship with alcohol has led me to a place now where I no longer drink at all.
Okay.
And not because I've told myself I can't or because it's bad, but because I've just realized or discovered for myself, I suppose, that alcohol has no place in my life. I have no use for it. I have no need for it. Given everything I know about the nature of the beast, how addictive it is, how toxic it is, how hard it is not to become even just a little bit attached to alcohol. And what I know about myself and how I want my life to be, I know that alcohol doesn't have a place in my life. And so I now never think about drinking. And I know that it's just not something that I want to be to have in my life. But that's me and my path. It doesn't have to be that way for everybody. There are people who get sober curious who are able to say, or able to just, you know, get it down to a glass of champagne at a wedding, you know, or whatever their situations might be. But that's the point. It's very individualistic. It's not a prescriptive, cut and dried approach.
Yes, I believe so. And did you go through a period where you just didn't enjoy certain social settings? And did you kind of have to retrain yourself to approach them differently, like weddings, like parties, like 40th birthday parties or 30th or whatever?
Yes. Well, I've learned a lot about what I actually enjoy when it comes to socializing. You know, I don't actually enjoy socializing in big groups and I don't really like parties. I have quite a lot of social anxiety and I prefer socializing one to one. So I have a very thriving social life. But I see friends one for one, usually during the day. I love to socialize, going for walks in the park, getting coffees, that sort of thing. I still love a wedding because I'm a real romantic and I'm an absolute sucker for a wedding. But yeah, the first couple of sober weddings were definitely different. And I did miss alcohol in those situations in a way because it just sort of felt like I wasn't really joining in.
Mm-hmm.
But these, I talk in my books about the importance of doing sober firsts. So the first sober wedding, the first sober 40th, the first sober holiday, these sorts of things, they can be quite confronting at first. But once you get used to not having a drink in those situations, you can start to enjoy them in a different way.
How long have you been off the booze?
I actually can't remember the last time I had a drink.
Not lovely thing to
say. I'd say about 3 years, probably.
Wow, that's well done.
And maybe actually during that time, I think there probably have been a couple of occasions where maybe I had a half a glass of wine, but actually realised halfway through, you know what, that's not working for me, you know?
Yeah. It's but a really interesting subject. I really do find myself in these conversations a lot with my friends and my family. And it's really interesting that you've written not one, but two books about it. And before I let you go, you have a second book. It's called The Sober Curious Reset. What makes that book different to Sober Curious?
So Sober Curious really gets deep into all the philosophy of everything I've just been talking about. But the Sober Curious Reset actually guides you through 100 days of not drinking. Okay. So for each day, there's a different sort of little observation or question to think about, and then an exercise. So it's a very practical, very hands-on interactive guide that is there to sort of hold your hand as you do 100 days of not drinking. Now, I picked that number because I know it's quite intimidating. I picked 100 days just because in my personal experience and also anecdotally among people I've met over the past 5 years of sort of talking about this, around the 3 month mark is when it starts to all make sense.
Okay.
The cravings have abated. It all starts to, everything starts to click.
You see the benefits probably of better sleep and better skin and all that kind of stuff as well.
You really start to see the benefits. You're getting a bit more used to being in social situations without alcohol. Or for some people, it's getting a bit more used to being at home alone without alcohol. You know, there are some people who really use alcohol more as a crutch when they're feeling lonely. That 3 month mark is a real turning point. So I do encourage people. I think the Sober October is a great start. If you enjoy it and you feel good, then maybe challenge yourself to do another couple of months and see how it goes. And people do really report coming out of that 100-day period a really sustainable shift in both their thinking and their behaviours around drinking.
Ruby Warrington, thank you so much for joining me on today's show. The book is Sober Curious, and then there's Sober Curious Reset if you need a guide and help for staying sober for 100 days. Amazing stuff, really interesting read, and is available in all leading bookshops. We'll be back right after this.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.